got the PowerPoint. Ready? Good deal. Something to believe, awesome to believe God for. We've been in this process of discovering the awesomeness of growing in the very likeness of Jesus. And last Sunday, we had met with a few of the leaders, and one of this subject was coming up, and it was just a really weird meeting. But as I was coming out, I was processing, and I'm going, God, what are you saying? What is going on in this? And as we were going along, as I was going along and asking the Lord about this, I really felt like the guy was showing me that I have been burning with this passion to see individual people grow into the very likeness of Jesus. You know, the Romans 8:29 passage, which we'll talk about in a second. You know, being conformed to the image of Jesus. But then the Lord revealed to me that there was a whole other facet of growth that is His destiny for us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you're a visitor here today to Dwelling Place, you know, this is a message that I'm speaking to the body of Dwelling Place, because it's from the heart to inform, to speak. Because it talks about in Hosea 4:6, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And also in Isaiah 5:13, my people go into captivity because of lack of knowledge. If you don't know what to believe, and faith is the key to release those resources from heaven, if you don't know what to believe, how can you believe? And so today is something that really what I want to put before the body that we can believe for. And you'll see as we go along, and because it is believing for the individual and corporate growth. And I just want to put that in our hearts, that there's two things that God is calling us to believe for. One is that we're setting our sights on growing to the very image and likeness of Jesus. Two is that this body would also grow into the very likeness of Jesus, corporately. And this is this past scripture in Ephesians 4:15, and how you'll see both of these things in it. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up, that's individually, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. I love what Leanne said this morning. David don't need, I don't know what exact word you used. Best version of Leanne, yeah. David needs Jesus in Leanne. We have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer what? I who live, it's what? Christ who lives in me. Paula don't need Rick. She needs Jesus being expressed through Rick. And that's the cool thing about this. Religion tries to get us to form things up. Jesus changes us and affects us from the inside out. And that's growing into the very image and likeness of Jesus individually. But notice this, it goes on. It says, grow in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Now watch this. Causes the growth of what? The body. For the building of itself up in love. The growth of the body. And God started speaking to me. There's something to believe for. And set your sights on. Now, y'all, I'm not going to sit here and say that we got it all together, because it's obvious. You know? In fact, you know, last week, you know, somebody asked a question. It was Christopher Hinchcliffe asked for a question. Christopher talked about how, made a mention about how in Dwelling Place, I can't remember how he said it was, is that there was a statement could be said that it was unloving and, what was the other one? Uncaring. And when he said that, I was just trying to process it, and I really felt like I blew it. When I thought about it later, I'm going, wow, those are probably the same words that I've heard Paula say at a time or two in my existence. Because the reality is, a church, one of the facets of it is a family. Unfortunate thing about it is everybody in the church is all in process of growing into the very likeness and image of Jesus. Paul and I have been married for almost 40 years. It'll be 40 years in August. And there's still areas in my heart that are growing in love in relationship to her. And I mean growing. Now, I don't speak that to cause hopelessness in anybody in this place. You know, there's some of you are on the speed track, which is praise God, you know, but there's some of us in here that, you know, it's like fine wine, I guess. You know, you know, it takes a long time or whatever. And but there's that process. And that's the cool, important thing about a body is that we're growing into the likeness of Jesus, and there's only two words that cover it all, and that's mercy and grace. And it's never a point of failure. It's always a point of opportunity or point of growth into that. So let me just speak these things in it. What to believe, that we can believe God for, that God is doing a work in us. And he's also doing a work in us corporately. And so let's just speak these passages of Scripture in faith. Let's go to the first one in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, where it says, we proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose I also labor and strive according to that which works mightily in me. There's the call of God for ministry to form and work and present every man complete or finished in Christ. Phil Kugel had a question last week because we were talking about mainly about Sunday morning service and just about the whole purpose of Sunday morning service. And he asked a really good question that just broadened things out and what's the purpose of the whole church. Well, y'all, that statement right there is the purpose of the church. That is the purpose of everything that we need to do and say individually, that we are working to present every man complete in Christ. That is your destiny. That word complete there literally can mean finished to the very likeness of Jesus that you have been destinated for, you know. I'll make some words up here. You know? So anyway, the next one, let's go here real quick. The next one, Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole body being fitted together. That Greek word there for being fitted together is a word that means continuous action. It's a present tense verb. Is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. There it is, growing, the body growing. Us growing as a body. Now, what are the measures of growing as a body? How can you tell if a body is growing? Because, you know, when I said this before about individual growth, and we'll go into more details when we start talking about individual growth at a later time. But how can you tell a body is growing as God would purpose it? And there's some things, first off, I just want to get out of the way, what it's not. Let's look at this. First thing, it's not a focus on growing in numbers. That is not a measure of a church growing into the likeness of Jesus. I asked Leah before church, I said, Leah, would you want to have 20 kids? Because I know how she loves kids. And she had this weird look on her face. And she goes, well, no. I said, how about 19? And then she made this interesting comment. She said, well, before I had any kids, I wanted 20 kids. And I got thinking about that. Because, you know, what's the difference between her now and before she had any kids? Sleep deprivation is what she said. See, you know, if all of a sudden Simona's household was full of kids, there's a certain part of it Leah would be, I mean, you know, happier than a tick on a coon dog. I mean, she'd be happy. But she, you know, if she knew the guarantee that it was all to be taken care of. Because just because a church increases in numbers does not mean every person in the body is helped in growing into the very likeness of Jesus. Because, you know, Rick realized that we reached our capacity to help two kids grow up with two. Some people have more capacity than Paul and I had, or Rick had. I mean, because it took Paula 4 years to talk me into having another kid. So, and y'all know the story. So anyway, so too, just because there's increase in numbers does not mean a church is growing into the likeness, is growing. Or how about the next one? A church is not growing, it is not a focus on growing and giving. Just because there's a lot of money flowing into the church is not an indicator. Now, those increasing in numbers can be a result of, but they are not an indicator of. And in fact, because there's times that, like, you know, when all of a sudden you've reached that possible capacity, you know, that you're realizing you don't have the resources to help take care of what you got. I got a good friend, not of this body, but when he had two kids and he was really wrestling with a lot of things trying to take care of his family, and he found out his wife was pregnant with the third kid, and he just freaked out, and he thought about wrapping himself in an Israeli flag and walking across the Palestinian territory. He was filled with hopelessness because he had realized what he had to take care of. I remember one time I was in this service of pastors, a conference of pastors, this fellowship of pastors. And these pastors got up, and it was after I'd left East Stone Gap and was in transition to coming up here. And this this pastor starts standing up and talking about revival's coming, and there's coming multitudes of people are coming into the church. And he starts speaking that. And all of a sudden, I start crying. I mean, I don't mean, you know, like this. I'm talking about, and it's kind of embarrassing. You're in front of, in the midst of all these other pastors, and here you are going, you know, I'm just sobbing. I'm going, God, what is going on? And finally, I realize he's talking about revival, and I'm seeing hordes of people coming in with a revival, and I'm realizing that every one of the persons that come in, they got poopy diapers. And they got to be changed. And that was a time that I really, when I literally had burned out in ministry, and I couldn't take the thought of dealing with another hurting and wounded person. And so when I start talking about growth, we're talking about the body growing. We got to understand what we're talking about. Now, I want to see revival. I want to see multitudes saved. You know, but I tell you this, I thank God for multitudes of churches in the New River Valley. You know why? And I think it's God's will. Because you know what? Each one of those churches have certain people apportioned to them to take care of. And that's what it's all about. And so the whole goal is not numbers or giving, but what does it mean to grow and to grow? And there's some things that's just walked through. And I speak these, y'all, not for us to try to perform. And you got to hear me. I speak these in the spirit that we can believe that God can birth it in us. Like, for example, let me say this. Three times in the New Testament, it makes a statement, uses in the imperative form, a command form in the Greek. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, y'all, I know without a shadow of a doubt that there's no way that Mitch Simonis can love Jesus and love Leah as Jesus loves the church on his own. You talking about create hopelessness quick? You try to perform that one. I've tried to do it. And Paula tried to help me do it. And she helped me to that standard. Well, you ain't doing it. When you do this, I'll do this. You know? That ain't to try to perform. That's spoken. Anytime there's an imperative tense spoken in the New Testament, it's not to perform. It's to believe. It's a creative statement like God said, let there be light. And it's this, for a place where we go, okay, God, I receive it. Be it done unto you. Be it done unto me according to your word as Mary spoke. So when we read these things, it's just take them as things to believe God for, that he would birth in this body. The first one is growing a body growing into the likeness of Jesus? Look at it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. The last phrase causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up. What? In love. That's a measure. Am I loving as Christ loved the church? What? Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love does not take into account wrong suffered. That's the measure of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. A body that's permeated with love. And it just like this picture of it here, it's just like a body that's, you know, like you and I would do on a cold day is you take a coat or a blanket and you wrap it around you. Like it talks about in Colossians, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And so one of the measures that we want to believe God for is that God would birth in us love. But y'all, I don't know about you, but especially when I first got married, and there's one in this place even now, and growing in my relationship with God and relationship with people, my definitions of what love are not in line with truth. As it says in Philippians chapter 1, go to this past next slide. Well, here, let me just take this statement. Realizing what love is and what it's not. Receiving that love from God and reflecting that love to God and others. For us to grow in love, it's a place of realizing what love is and what it's not. And then the only way we love, because why? He first, what? Loved us. And that all I do in my love others is reflect his love to others. Just as like Leanne was speaking earlier, is that the whole goal is that for Paula, as she gets the fresh revelation of God's love as I'm being absorbed with it to her. That's why a number of times in our relationship that when we would have a discussion, her response to me is, Rick, you just need to go have a quiet time. You just need to go get in the presence of God. Because she knew that when I came back, that I would not be loving her with the love that is tainted by Rick's flesh, that I would start to be receiving God's love, and that's what she would get. And she knows that usually when I go there, I end up coming back and start repenting, and so it helps a lot. But anyway, this first part, realizing what love is, because notice this passage scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, the reality is in us is the capacity to love because Jesus is in us, but the reality is many times our love is dumb. Because notice what it says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless on the day of Christ. In other words, in a body, in a church, God is calling us to grow up in love in every aspect of our lives, individually, here, my kids, here. You know, how many times has Paula really spoken to me, says, Rick, I'm sorry, you're not expressing that right to Shay. Or to some of you. And I'm going, what? You know? Or Simonis will go, Rick. You know, I'm like all fired up on the Holy Ghost. I'm going, man, if you don't like that Holy Ghost stuff, just leave. And Simonis, after the service, hey, Rick, that ain't Jesus. What do you mean? Oh, the Holy Ghost. That ain't love. So what is love? And that's one of the really cool things about it is that for us with an open heart to be willing to be taught and heard. Older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands. The older men teaching the younger men how to love. All back and forth, brothers with brothers, sisters with sisters. You know, there's sometimes nothing better than for a brother to get rebuked by a sister, you know? I mean, some of the best rebukes I had are from sisters, you know? You know, I keep picking on Mitch and Leah this morning, you know? Yeah, how many times Leah took me aside and go, "Hey, Rick, this ain't work," paraphrase, she wouldn't use these words, but paraphrase, "this ain't working with Paula, you know? You ain't loving her right." Or I'll never forget Kim Roberts, you know, Daryl's wife. Kim's one of these sweet ladies. I mean, so sweet. She can butcher you up. And you walk away and you're going, you're looking down and you're bleeding. Your guts are hanging out and you're going, "What did she just do? She rebuked the snot out of me and I'm all," you know. And she just, "Oh, what a smile." I'm going, "What?" You know? That's what's cool about the body of Christ. To love, to learn to discover love and allow the love of Jesus to be released in our lives. The second part of what a body is growing in love. But the second thing is notice this in Ephesians 4:16. Next slide, please. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Now, that Greek word for proper is really kind of interesting. It literally means measure. And it's kind of interesting. It's kind of hard to translate it in English, but it's just literally this word. See, every one of us have different measures. You know, and this is the biggest thing that Paula and I have had to deal with in our relationship in the area of ministry, that she would try to take on the measure of ministry that I do. That's one of the reasons why she don't travel with me overseas. She goes, "Rick, I'm not called to do what you do." You know, I mean, we're leaving Friday. First crew's leaving Thursday. Ben and Danielle are leaving Thursday to go to Serbia. Then Kaylee Kinsey and Leah and I are leaving on Friday, and we're flying to fly to Zagreb and then go to Belgrade and do some stuff. And it'll be a crazy trip. There's a measure of that. And I ask Leah to go to make sure that the measure of Kaylee and Kinsey of Rick doesn't get kind of, they get drawn out, because there's a different measure. But here's the important thing. And what you can say in this is when a body is healthy, notice what it says. The proper working or the measure of each individual part. How do you know a body is healthy if every part is functioning in the measure which God gave it to function? If there's one part of the body not functioning in who God has called them to be, that's the body needs to grow. It's just like if you see a child's finger not, you know, is born and you see their arm not working right, you go, "Oh, there's something that needs to help the growth there." Or a finger, whatever it may be, the body functioning in each individual part. You know, and the other thing I want to say, notice this, what it says, held together by what every joint supplies. Y'all, the true function of the growth is like Paula being Paula and Rick being Rick. And where the real true growth occurs is here, in between. And that, you know, that's so important. The interactions between us and the empowerment of each individual part, different as they may be. Praise God that Paul is not like Rick. Praise God. And praise God, Rick's not like Paula. God's called me to be me, and God's called Paula to be Paula. But here's a really cool thing, is that we really are very powerful when we're here. I remember one of the young interns, one of the married interns came to me and says, "Rick, you know, I'm having some issues with my wife, and, you know, could, you know, what do you think?" And we're talking a few minutes, and I'm going, "You know what? I think it'd be better for you to talk to Paula about this and get her perspective. She goes, no, I'm afraid of her. No. That's sort of the thing I hold overhead. I'm going to let Paula talk to you. Oh, why? What's that function, each individual part? And notice this passage of Scripture here, how that you and I functioning in that place that God's called us is a place where the body's growing, that we provide an atmosphere of the body to function and whole. Go to this 1 Timothy passage. Notice this. Do not neglect the spiritual gift which is in you, which is bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance and laying on of hands. Take pains with these things. And literally, the Greek word there for take pains is kind of weird. It's not, this kind of sounds laborious, but it literally means just give big attention to, focus intensely at it. It says, with these things, be absorbed in them all so that your progress may be evident to all. In other words, there's this place of taking on, don't neglect your place in the body. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. Each one of us in this place has a gift, has a part in the body of Christ, both locally and corporately. And God is calling you and I to not neglect that which is in us. Let it flow. Go on to the next one. So growing in love, the proper working of each individual part. And notice this one. It is a growth in our ability to corporately offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Catch this. This is the growth of a body. Coming to Him as a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones, or get this, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. What's the purpose of a church? It is a place for all, is an altar, really, in the spirit to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Not too long ago, I did a brief series on the priesthood of the believer. And one of our destinies as priest of God is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And go to the next slide, and there's at least five different things that I see in Scripture are expressions of spiritual sacrifices. Praise and worship and thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15 says, offer up sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. When we worship, what are you doing it for? Is it for you? Then it's not a sacrifice. I'll talk about that in a second. Notice something. Prayer, Revelation 5:8 talks about prayer being a spiritual sacrifice, an altar of incense unto God. That's a spiritual sacrifice. Our resources were in Philippians 4:18, where there was a group of people who was sacrificing, giving to Paul. That was a spiritual sacrifice unto God. Another one. Our ministries in Romans chapter 15, verse 16, where Paul makes a statement that his offering of his ministry to the Gentiles would be a sacrifice acceptable to God. It was a spiritual sacrifice. And in Ephesians 5:2, our very lives. Romans 12:1, let us offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which goes on and talks about your spiritual act of worship. See what a church is, God, in the spiritual realm. It is literally this holy altar that where all of these ministries and all of these things come and they become incense into the heavens. And God showed me that there's this difference. You know, when we come in here and we sing songs, why do we sing? Do we sing, oh man, so that it'll bless us? Oh, that really moved me today. No sacrifice. That's not sacrifice. That's for your benefit. Do you come into worship out of sacrifice? I mean, for you to feel good, to be blessed, it's not a sacrifice. I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this morning. Did y'all a couple of times hit the wrong key notes? And I thought, I says, There's the time where true sacrifice comes. Is that when somebody worships God when they're not doing it all right. When some point in time, maybe the worship team doesn't sing it right, but it does not matter. Maybe when Amy's up there and you times are, or BJ, you used to have BJ all the time. You remember he'd be playing and his strings would start to pop. But one time, I think he had two strings that had blown it, you know. But could we worship? Could we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God? And what God started showing me is he said, this picture of resources of heaven. See, a child can access resources of a parent, but usually as a child accesses resources from a parent, they're receiving the resources in relationship to the need that is present in their lives. That is not the heart of God. When you and I enter into things in relationship to our ministries, in relationship to worship, in relationship to prayer, and they are, the heart is to be an offering unto God, what happens is we're drawing on the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. We're sowing, and all of a sudden, that which you're sowing releases back to you of the fullness of the inheritance of God. In other words, we're not, if when we're worshiping God as a child, because what it would do for us, we're just going to receive in proportion to what we, quote, need. But when you sow and I sow spiritual sacrifices unto God out of the abundance of our heart, just because it's love to God, there's blessing that's released back. Fullness of blessing. Over an abundance of blessing. And I don't care what it is, a ministry of fixing coffee can be one of the most powerful ministries. Especially for a bunch of people that need caffeine, but I don't mean for that, but just the expression of love, why they do it. I remember talking to people when we would have picnics at the property, and it'd take us sometimes 10 to 12 hours to weed eat the property before we'd do a picnic out there. And I remember in my mind, I'm thinking, God, you know, because you got to talk yourself into a lot when you're weed eating for 10 or 12 hours. And I remember telling myself, speaking to myself, we're doing this for the mamas, God, so that when they bring their kids there, God, their mamas will feel safe. The weeds are back and they're not ready. So you're sowing it into people. Whatever you're doing unto the Lord with a heart of sacrifice unto God. In other words, I just say this question, why do you do what you do? Why am I up here right now preaching right now? Is it to fulfill my gift? There ain't no sacrifice there. I'm receiving the just reward. But if my purpose in being here is for you, then there's a whole nother story to think about. Why are we getting on a plane to go to Serbia, Croatia, and Macedonia? To go hold Beth's baby, yeah. There's some selfish ambition there. But why are we going? The last thing of it is a testimony of God. Testimony of a body growing is the growth of the reality of God's presence in the midst of corporate effect. Notice this passage in Ephesians 2:21. In whom the whole body being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God. What? In the Spirit. Now you remember last week I told you there was four major reasons why that God has called dwelling place to meet on a Sunday morning, and four goals in relationship to them. And the first one is literally the whole purpose for us to gather together is to express praise, glory and honor and thanksgiving to our God, Him. And the main purpose that we gather is to come into an agreement. So like it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there you are, there I am in their midst. Our main focus of getting together, the dwelling place that God has called us to walk toward, is His presence among us. Y'all, that is not automatic. Yeah, there is God's presence in us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But like 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, He says, I'll dwell in you, I'll walk among you. But we know that the other one is conditional, according to Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered in my what? Name. And what does name mean? Nature and character. And y'all, I've been in enough worship services or, quote, Jesus meetings. Let's not call something something that's not something. Let's don't call something a duck when it's a chicken. Because sometimes we're going, oh, God, yeah, we thank God's with us. And you're going, if that's your God, I don't know that I want to be there. Because what's the middle of that is jealousy and selfish ambition. There's disorder and every evil thing. I'm not sure it's called that God. Because you know the fruit of the Spirit is what? What? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. Where the Spirit of God is, there's life. Those things are present. And so growing up in love, growing into a place that where our that this body is learning and knowing how to love one another. Or do we have a lot to learn? Yes. Yes, we have. Yes, we do. You know, and then the second thing that we were talking about was that each one of us, that we, you know, the leadership would be empowered to allow every person to take their place. So that's why we've established the spheres of authority in relationship to elders, deacons, fivefold, to decentralize the authority and the flow of ministry in this body. That it's not centered on a few, but the body comes, there's a proper working of each part. And the third thing is that we're a body that is growing in our ability to offer sacrifices to God. When somebody walks in this place, they smell Jesus. Yeah, I smell that. I smell that. There's an atmosphere of it. So can I ask as a body, that we can believe God, that we would head in this direction to believe Him to birth this in us. Now, I warn you, every word of the Lord is what? Test it. I don't want any more testings, Lord. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know? But I do believe this, that this is the heart that where God would take us. And there, y'all, where we're focusing on where we're headed in this journey, that we would grow individually in relationship to the God, in relationship to Jesus, and that at the same time we're believing God, that God would show us how that we grow corporately. And I want to ask these questions. What we're going to do is, at some point in time you'll hear this, that there are spiritual surveys that we've written that you can evaluate where you're growing individually in the Lord. And we'll talk about this at a later time. But here's the other thing is there are certain types of things, this same kind of thing that I believe God is asking us to ask dwelling place. Individually, are we as a body growing? We take these four things and ask questions of ourselves and not stick our head in the sand and go, okay, God, are we growing in this way? If not, what's the hindrance? How can we draw into your likeness, Lord? How can we lay aside the things that would weigh us down so that we may grow into your likeness? So y'all agree? Can we go there? New River Valley and the world needs the expression of Jesus. The real Jesus. Real Jesus. And I know there's people in this church want the real deal. Right?